Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in 6 different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Our Savior's Church. We are so, so excited that you're here with us this morning. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, my name is Pastor Jacob LeBlanc. Along with my wife, Grace, we are the lead pastors of the New Iberia campus. And we are so, so glad that you're here with us this morning. Like I said, this is my favorite part of the message. I love this first little part because I get to tell you what God has for you. I don't know what you walked in here today with. I don't know what situations are surrounding you today. I don't know what issues you walked in with, but let me tell you something. God has an answer for every problem that you have. Let me say that one more time. God has an answer for every question, every problem, every circumstance that's surrounding you right now. He's got an answer. I know that because I've had questions of my own. I've had issues of my own. I've had problems of my own. I've had circumstances around my life that have caused me stress, caused me pain, caused me heartache, and God has shown up every single time. How do I know that? Because His Word says that He has plans for us, plans for a hope and a future, plans to prosper us, not to harm us. God has you in mind every single day. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Because when I know that I've got the creator of the universe at my back, there ain't nothing that can stop me from moving forward. Right. Nothing. And what I'm excited about is that today we get to start a brand new series. In fact, it's called New, underline. New space. New. And we're going to fill that in. Every single week, we're going to talk about something new. Today, we get to talk about new beginnings. We get to talk about new beginnings. How many of you know that we're in a season right now where new things are happening? New things are happening. We've got new school year. We've got, maybe some of you have changed schools, new schools. Maybe some of you have changed jobs. Maybe some of you have a new vision, a new focus. You want to get back on a new schedule. Hello. Summertime for moms is like, y'all got to go. Get back to school. But this is a season of new. And can I tell you something? It's not just new for you. Here at OSC, we're going into some new things too. We've got some new beginnings happening. And I'm so grateful that we can share some of these things. See, life has its ebbs and flows, and there are seasons of love, seasons of loss, seasons of growth, seasons of complacency. But here's what I want to share with you today. This is the theme of today. It doesn't matter where you are in life, you can have a fresh start. It doesn't matter which season of life you're in. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how experienced you are, how inexperienced you are, you can have a fresh start. Let me ask this question. How many of you have ever been bored? Like bored with life, bored with your job, bored with school, bored with your life situation. Fellas, do me a favor. Look at your wife and say, boo-boo, I ain't never been bored with you. Glory. Come on, fellas. I didn't see y'all do it. Look, go ahead. Turn to your wife and say, I will never get bored with you, girl. Then plant one on her. Big old kiss. I heard it. I like that. But I remember a couple of years back, I left here to go help kind of revitalize the church in Fort Worth, Texas with some of y'all may remember Pastor Eric Young. He was the youth pastor here. I left with him to go be his youth pastor and worship leader in Fort Worth, Texas. First kind of real youth pastor job. I thought I was a big deal. And I wasn't, by the way. I was there for about 4 months, and I was starting to get bored. I suffer from severe ADD. Real bad. I get it bad. And I got bored. I was bored in ministry already. Just started my ministry. I was already bored. was bored. We had about 8 students. It was a real small church and God was doing some cool things. But I told the students, I said, hey, check this out. If y'all get 20 students here in the next couple of weeks, I will dye my hair blonde and let you do it. Yep, I did it. A couple of weeks later, sure enough, they invited some friends. We had 20 students. I was like, oh, doggone it. Showed up the next week with the dye in my hand. They had a blast. In fact, I think that next week we had like 30-something students. They just wanted to watch me get my hair dyed. And what I didn't realize was that my brand new fiance was planning on coming up the next weekend to take engagement pictures. So she drove up to this. Y'all laughing a little bit too hard right now. Don't appreciate it. It was bad. Look, it was bad, all right? I know it was bad. I was trying to go blonde, but I guess my hair was so dark, that's just what happened. And a bunch of teenagers did it, so I didn't care. So my wife shows up the next week, and she's pretty furious, and we ended up having to get some more hair dye, and we dyed it back, and we ended up with a couple of decent pictures. We were in Fort Worth, so we went boot shopping. We didn't get any, though. But we ended up, you know, fixed the hair, and we were able to take some pretty decent pictures. I'm very regretful of my hairstyle, but, you know, we got it all fixed, and what I noticed is that everything was fine. We ended up right, but it was my discontent with how student ministry was going that forced me to make a big change. It was my discontent. Nobody told me to be discontent. Nobody told me to do something crazy like that. I was feeling discontent. Therefore, it drove me to change in my life. Everything ended up fine. It was all well. We had a great time. But sometimes God will cause discontent in your heart because he's trying to move you to do something more for his kingdom. And it takes some faith to be able to do the things that God's called us to do. But it's not our job to question. It's our job to trust and obey. See, God wants to start something new in your life today. A new vision, a new focus, new joy, new power, but it all starts with a new beginning. If you want to start something, it's got to start today. Yeah. See, we're going to take a look at a passage of scripture today in the book of Isaiah chapter 43. And the book of Isaiah was written by, obviously, a man named Isaiah, who was a prophet. And a prophet was anyone who spoke on behalf of God, had the authority of God to speak to God's people, the Israelites. And for the first 17 verses of this chapter, chapter 43, Isaiah is just telling the people of God, reminding them what God's done for them, all the miracles that have happened in the past. He's reminding them, sharing with them how amazing the past was. Then he moves on. He's reminding them that God was faithful in what he had done. That God allowed them to go through some things, but always provided. How many of y'all are grateful that God provided in your past? How many of you are grateful? Yeah, how many of you are grateful that God showed up in the moment that you need him the most? I'm grateful for what God has done for me in the past. And I'm grateful for what he's going to do. But in the next verse, verse 18, Isaiah flips it on its head. So he spends the whole first 17 chapters talking about what God did. Then verse 18, it says this, but forget all that. Uh-oh. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Look, we can be grateful for what God's done in the past, but we know that God's got more for us in our future. And he continues in verse 19, and this is what he says. For I am about to do something new. How many of y'all are ready for God to do something new in your life? So I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. See, this passage was in reference to an incredible story of the Israelites back whenever they were enslaved in Egypt. Moses had just met with Pharaoh, and they were having a great opportunity to be able to move past them. And Pharaoh told them, he said, y'all can go. But then once the Israelites left, he realized, oh my goodness, I can't have all these slaves. Oh, leave me. I need these Israelite people. I need them to help build what we have. And Pharaoh said, I know y'all just left, but I'm chasing y'all. And here's the Israelites. They come face to face with this giant sea called the Red Sea. And they've got they got Pharaoh and his army coming up against them. And Moses is face to face with this giant sea. And there's nowhere to go. And he's like, God, what do I do? What am I supposed to do? Like, we either die or we die. What do you want us to do? And God tells Moses, he says, hey, do me a favor and lift up your arms and hold your stick up in the air. I'm sorry, God, what? You want me to do what? Yeah, go ahead. Hold your arms up. God, we need something here. Why are you telling me to do this? He said, just do it. Shut up. Just do it. So Moses holds up his arms, and just like that, as soon as his arms go up, the Red Sea parts, and there's a wall of water on either side, and the Israelites could walk all the way through. If you could put up that scripture one more time, verse 19 says, I will provide a pathway in the wilderness. See, sometimes God will ask you to do some ridiculous things. But God's the one that can see on the other side of the Red Sea. God already has a plan in mind. He already knows. And he might ask you to go ahead, hold up your hands. God, what are you talking about? Doesn't matter. God's got a plan. It's not your job to question whether or not God's word is right. It's your job to trust and obey. You remember that old song, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. There is something to be said. When you can trust God, obey what he's doing, a lot of times it's not going to look like what you thought it was supposed to look like. When you come face to face with the Red Sea and know that there is pressure coming from behind you, knowing you are going to die or you are going to die, when God says, hold up your hands and I'm going to take care of the rest, I just need you to trust and obey. Be mindful. Be mindful that what God does for you, see, what Moses saw were barriers holding up the wall. See, the Egyptians started to pursue the Israelites through that little passage that God had provided. And as soon as the Israelites passed through, the waters closed up and all the Pharaoh's chariots, the Egyptians, they all died. They all died at sea. This is the pathway through the wilderness that Isaiah was referencing. God made a way for them, just like he's made a way for you in your past. But I am about to do something new. Isaiah was talking to a group of people who had been exiled from Babylon. This was several hundred years after. So Pharaoh lost. Israelites got out. Here they are right back in slavery in Babylon. And Isaiah was trying to tell these people that they wanted God to do something. God, do something new. God, do something. Release us. Help us get out of this. God, do something new. When God was saying the whole time, I'm trying, but you're not listening. If you're not ready to change, how can I do something new? If you do what you've always done, you will get what you always got. We want God to do something new, but we expect him to do it the same way he always did it. God, we want something new. Oh no, but you got to do what you did. Like, I want to see the Red Sea again. When God said, yeah, well, I gave you the Red Sea once, but what about the waters coming out of the rock? What about the little miracles? What about the manna? What about the quail? What about the provisions that I've already given you? You're asking me to do another Red Sea miracle when I'm providing miracles for you every single day. We all want the Red Sea miracle, but we don't want to settle for the rivers and the wilderness. See, when you study the brain, experts have concluded that if you do something the same way over an extended period of time, there's a pathway that happens in your brain called a neural pathway. It's these little information centers that go back and forth between your brain. See, for men, it's about a two-lane dirt road. For women, it's like an eight-lane superhighway. Just goes all the way through. But what happens is these pathways are what develop your memories, develops your habits, it develops the things the behaviors that you have, and it also helps you to stay comfortable. Anytime you do something different, it causes frustration in your brain and it makes it hard to focus. Your body wants you to return to the comfortable highway, but God's saying, I want to be the one to build your highway because my roads lead to peace. My roads lead to health. My roads lead to everlasting life. God's saying, I want to do something new, but let me be the one to build it. But I want to caution you with something. Just because he held the water back for you in your past doesn't mean that's how he moves today. Psalm 103, verse 2, it says this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not the benefits, but forget the form that it came in. See, God provided for you in your past. God's done things for you in your past. But just because that's how he moved doesn't mean that's how he's going to move again. Don't forget what God's done. Don't forget what God's done, but forget how he did it. Because God wants to do a new thing in your life. See, when you first became born again, you used to open up your Bible, place your finger on the Bible anywhere, and God just spoke to you. It's a revelation word. Now when you open your Bible and you put your finger down, it's like the depressing Psalms. You know what I'm talking about? Or the story of the prophet that calls down the bear to eat the kids. You're like, what? What does this even mean? But God wants to do a new thing. You ask yourself why God hasn't spoken to you, but God is still speaking. It just may be on a different frequency. Yeah. You expect God to show up the way he did back then when God's saying, I want to do a new thing. Remember, go back to, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Sometimes our greatest barrier is not what's in front of us, it's what's behind us. Sometimes the thing that's keeping us from what God wants for us is what he's done in the past. And we think, well, he's got to move this way when God's saying, I'm ready to do a new thing. You just have to listen, trust, and obey. So how do we do it? What do we do? How do we find new beginnings? How do we stay in an attitude of expectancy for what God is going to do new for us? I think it's real simple. Real simple. This is not going to be super deep. This is just practical. How do we wait for that? Number one, we have to release the past. We have to release the past. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this: Now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he's become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. We battle our past. We battle our past a lot. I'll be real honest with you. I have made some stupid decisions. Oh, well, Pastor, that was before you met Jesus, right? No. Can I tell you something? I've made some mistakes even after being born again. But Pastor, you're supposed to be a preacher. I don't make me not human. I make mistakes. I've said some stupid things. I've done some stupid things. I'll be honest with you. I wish with everything in me that I can forget those stupid things that I've done. But God has put them in my life to help me remember. God's allowed good things and bad things in my life to remind me of his goodness and of his grace. Everything that happens in your life points to that. It points to that. God will allow certain things to happen, and that's okay. But I'd like to caution you that just because God moved one way in our past doesn't mean he'll move that way again. We praise God for both, the good and the bad. But don't stay in your past. God's doing a new thing, but he can't do it until you've let go of the things that keep you looking back. A couple of weeks ago, before he preached here on a Sunday morning, it was a couple weeks before that, Pastor Randy Dugas called me. It was early on a Saturday morning. I don't even know if God was up yet, but Pastor Randy was. No, I'm kidding, but it was early. And he called me, said, "Man of God." And Pastor Randy, most of y'all know Pastor Randy was part of our church for a long time, but he also grew up in New Iberia. He owned a restaurant here. Y'all remember the patio? He's had a heart for New Iberia. He's been praying for New Iberia for 30 years. And he said, "Man of God, I feel like God put something on my heart." He operates in the prophetic. And he said, "Man of God, I feel like God put something on my heart for you and for New Iberia." I said, "Well, Pastor Randy, look, talk to me. What's going on?" He said, "I see a boat, and it's in a harbor. And the boat's pointed in the direction of another land with untold riches, with wealth, with prosperity, with amazing things. But the boat won't get there." So, "Well, Pastor Randy, what do you mean by that?" He said, "Everybody on the crew is looking back at the harbor. Everybody on the crew is looking back at the harbor." I said, "Pastor Randy, what does that mean?" He said, "Man of God, that's your church." He said, "Your church is headed for a place in that community of untold riches, of prosperity, of being a light to the community. But your church is looking back at the harbor. And until you start looking forward, you will never reach your destination." I said, "Pastor Randy, what do I need to do? What can I do?" He said, "Take the authority that God has given you over New Iberia." Remember, he talked about that here. Pastor Randy did. It's inheritance. He said, "It's already yours. Stop praying for it and receive it." Yeah. "Oh, yes, sir." At that point, my eyes are leaking. My eyes are sweating. "I ain't crying, you crying." But I realized that if we are to be who we're called to be, we have to take the authority. And it's not just me, it's us. This building is a beautiful building and it's going to look a lot prettier in a couple of months. But the church is not a building. It's us. We are the beacon of light. We are the ones who will go into our community and be the love of Jesus who he's called us to be. We love having guests here. We love having people come visit. I love that. And I want us to be a place where everybody feels loved, everybody feels welcome, everybody feels connected. But until we can say we are the ones who are going out to the community and being Jesus, we're looking back at the harbor. We're looking back at the harbor. And it's time for us to shift our focus. Yes, God moved here in the past. But the way God moved is not how he's gonna move. "I'm doing a new thing," says the Lord. Yeah. "I'm doing something that has never been done before. We're gonna see hope. We're gonna see life. We're gonna see love. We're gonna see relationships mended. We're gonna see races mended. We're gonna see denominations mended. We're gonna see political parties mended." This is what God's called us to be. But we have to take authority and start praying in what God has already called us to. When your memories are greater than your dreams, it's time for a change. Let me say it again. When your memories are greater than your dreams, it's time for a change. God has big plans for us in the future, but we can't get there by being focused on the past. So in order to expect new beginnings, we have to release the past, but also we have to live in the moment right now. Number two, we have to embrace the present. Embrace who we are right now. God has put you exactly where he needs you right now. Do you know it wasn't an accident that you're alive right now? I don't know if you walked in here believing, "Oh, well, I'm just floating through life and whoever I bump into is who I love and who I..." No. God has called you to this moment to reach this generation for this time. God has called you right now. It is not an accident that you are alive right now. God has put things inside of you to reach people for his kingdom. There are gifts inside of you that you might not even know yourself. God's called you to greatness. Our gifts are to be used to reach our community. The moment we've shifted our focus inward, we have lost our ability to impact the community. The fastest way for a church to die is to start asking, well, what about us? Well, what about me? But I want this for me. Shut up. Sometimes I do voices and I don't even like, it just kind of come out. I apologize. But we have to keep our focus. We have to understand that we're called to give. We're called to be givers. God didn't call us to this gospel, this amazing truth, this born again truth for us to sit on it. Well, I'm just gonna love Jesus. I've got my fire insurance. Y'all can just do whatever you want to do. I'm sorry, but the gospel was intended to be preached. The gospel was intended to be lived. The gospel was intended for us to be able to be a beacon of light to those that are in the darkness. That's who we're called to be. That's why this church, we can pretty it up and put lipstick on a pig as much as we want to. But the real moment of truth is when we step out of these doors and can be Jesus to the people that are looking in. And it doesn't matter what you look like. I got jeans and a shirt and a jacket on. I don't care if you got shorts, flip-flops, a tank top, tube top. I don't care. A halter top. I don't care what you got on. It's not about what you look like. It's about what your heart looks like. It's about what's inside of you, because here's what I know. I have talked to a lot of people in my life, and what's in their heart always comes out of their mouth. Always comes out of their mouth, both good and bad. What's in your heart? I'll tell you, a light switch flipped for me a couple of years ago whenever I was on staff at the church in Missouri. And I'd already been in ministry for a lot of years. I'd already done I was a youth pastor. I was, glory to God, I was a man of God. Hallelujah. But something switched for me when I went through their growth track. I taught it. I was teaching something I didn't even know. But I was teaching their growth track, and I heard, y'all, I grew up understanding the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I grew up understanding the spiritual gifts that God's given to us, leadership, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, helps. I grew up knowing all that stuff. I've read it thousands of times. But I understood it, that God has given me gifts, that I have something to give. And I realized, I even took the little assessment, Sean, that we do in Growth Track. I took the little assessment and it showed me that I have a gift of leadership, which I kind of always knew, but I didn't really know. I had a gift of leadership. I had a gift of wisdom that God had given to me. I had a gift of teaching. I could teach the Word of God. I had these gifts. And I realized that they were God-given, but I had to identify them first. I had to realize I even had them. So many people walk through their Christian life right now believing in the gifts but not knowing which ones they should be operating in. There's probably people in here right now, you've probably read the spiritual gifts a ton of times, but you don't really know which ones apply to your life. Can we help? Can we help you? Because I know I can help. I can help you with that. We're doing Growth Track in 2 weeks where we will give you the same assessment that I took as a pastor. Same assessment. I figured out what my spiritual gifts were, and now I'm operating. Once I've identified them, I'm not letting them lie dormant. Yeah. I'm operating in them now. And I've got the full authority of the Holy Spirit behind me. Oh, ain't nobody can touch me. That's what we want for you. Growth track is super, super important. We're not asking you to do it so we can tell everybody how good our growth track numbers are. Glory to God. Lafayette campus, guess what we had for growth track? I don't care about that. Pastor Tim, you don't care. You don't care how many people we have in growth track. I care because I know what we do in there. When we do growth track, we can fulfill you so that you can go outside these walls and show Jesus with the gifts that God's given to you. That's what I get excited about. Sure, we're going to show you ways that you can help out in the church and develop some of those gifts, but God's gifts are not meant just for his church. They're meant for the kingdom of God. Not just OSC, not just any denomination. They are meant to build the kingdom, not four walls. This is what we want to help with. We want to help you figure out those gifts. Sign up for Growth Track. It's not so that we can put you through our indoctrination. It's so that we can help you develop the gifts that God's given to you so you can impact your community. That's why we do it. Sign up for it August 31st, not this coming Saturday, but next. We want you there. Did you know that we need some help on our worship team? I got you. Did you know that we need help with some ushers and greeters? Did you know, y'all, this breaks my heart. Did you know that we sometimes have to turn people away from our nursery because we don't have enough people that want to hold, love, and pray for babies on a Sunday morning? We have to tell people, no, sorry, you can't come. We don't have enough people. We don't have enough people to hold your baby. I'm so sorry. Y'all, this is what you can be a part of. Do you love babies? Would you like the opportunity to pray over one? You can do this. You can be a part of using your gifts because we want to live in the present. We embrace it. Right now, God's doing something in somebody's heart right now. I know it. I know it. God's doing something in somebody's heart because they're preparing them for what God's prepared for them. We embrace the present. But once we've embraced the present, we also have to, and the next one's real deep. Get ready. It's real deep. We have to prepare for our future. You knew it was coming. Prepare for the future. Luke 14:28 says this, but don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if they have enough money to finish it? Like I said, I've got a bit of ADD, just a little bit. And I love to be in the moment. I got in a lot of trouble in high school because all it would take for me to do something stupid was if somebody were to say, hey, Jacob, you know what would be real fun? What? What would be fun? Students, close your ears in this moment. Teenagers, if you go to school, do not do this. Literally, somebody said, Jacob, you know what would be really fun is if you got on top of the school and jumped off. And it was real fun. But I'm sorry, Miss Monique. She's like, don't you dare. What I'm grateful for is that I married somebody who can see into the future, because Grace would have said something like, Jacob, you're going to die. Now she catches those things that when I have these ideas, I love to have fun, sometimes at my own, in fact, she won't let me get a motorcycle because she knows within the first couple days I will die. But there are people in your life right now that can help you see the future. Maybe you're like me. Maybe it's, you understand that there's a future, but it doesn't really matter. There's got to be somebody around you that you can lean on and say, hey, help me prepare. Help me prepare for what God's preparing for me. Those gifts that I had, those gifts that probably laid dormant for years and years and years until I identified them, I'm not waiting for God to use this platform anymore. I'm preparing for this platform to be bigger, not physically, but spiritually. That God is going to use this platform to impact our community. I'm not waiting for it to happen. I'm preparing for it to happen. So I'm doing what I need to do. I'm listening to podcasts. I'm reading books. I'm studying. I'm getting people in my life who's going to help me be better, help me to be able to be a better communicator, to help me be a better leader, to help me lead people better so that when this platform expands, I'm ready for it. God has something prepared for you, but you have to be prepared for it. I'm grateful that God can use a donkey like me to be able to speak to all of you. I'm grateful for it. But I've also got to make sure that I can be a donkey that can turn into a stallion. I've got to prepare for that. I've got to set my own mind on the things of God so that when the opportunities come, I'm ready to roll. What are you doing to prepare yourself for what God is bringing into your life? Are you ready for a new beginning? Are you prepared to walk into what God has already been preparing for you? I want to close with this. The first step in starting fresh is committing to a life according to God's best plan. Committing to a life of God's best for you.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.